Sorry to interrupt you guys, but we have got some special news. We have partnered up with a special brand called Itty Bitty, and if you're wondering what Itty Bitty is, well, they are a special custom-making jewelry and accessory shop. So, get yourself a gift or get your loved ones from ittybitty.com. And here's the thing, if you use code FNF10, you will get 10% off from all of your purchases at ittybitty.com. Don't worry, we will leave the link to their website on the description box below. So now, back to the program. Hey guys, welcome back to FNF Podcast. This is your host, Fabian Finos, with your co-host, Farooqi. What's up, Farooqi?
Hey, yo, Fabian. What's good?
I'm doing good, dude. Dude, I got a very special guest today. I don't know what to say. I'm just super excited. I just wanted to, you know, come on to the show real quick. So without any further ado, guys, please let me welcome Daniel Rahman.
Hi! Hey! I'm totally imagine me walking into a studio like a Jimmy Kimmel audience, but there's nobody in my room. So,
in the future, maybe.
In the future.
Inshallah. Yeah.
Inshallah. Just like imagine there's a people, you know, clapping and stuff. But like, for now, this is what we got.
You guys can cue in applause, probably. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. I'm more famous than Jimmy Kimmel, anyways, so it's fine.
All right. So, Daniel, we got four ways the show goes, the four segments. Number one is the questions, the amazing questions that we made. Totally amazing, by the way, just saying. The second is where we talk about your interests, the things that you like and stuff like that. And third segment is actually, oh my God, what was third segment? You know what's the problem?
Fans. Every time I finish,
yes, fans.
Yeah, the guest is telling you for you do better.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Oh my God. No, this is massive. Okay. So third is fans and fourth is the quick fire round where Farooqi and me ask you very simple, basic yes or no to the questions. All right, okay. So in that case, let's start off with the questions.
Okay.
I'll ask the first question. Where did all this TikTok thing start from? This YouTube, this content?
So, I mean, the real start was in 10th grade, or I think the 9th grade, when I saw Bethany Mota, who's this very famous fashion YouTuber, and I was mesmerized by the concept. The concept was so new in like 2009. And I wanted to do it. Then finally, when I went for my master's to London in 2018, that's where I was like, okay, I've been dreaming for this for too long. I'm going to take the plunge. And I did my undergrad in media and I wanted to specialize in fashion. So fashion blogging seemed right. But from what it started, and I was like a YouTube fanatic because I saw Lily Singh and Bethany Mota, and there were no role models for Instagram for me. I just was on Instagram because it was popular and you had to be there to become a creator. But YouTube has always been like my first love of sorts, even though I love TikTok and I'm there as well now. But it's a lot different from where I started. I started off as a modest fashion blogger, which I still am. But just the personal growth that I've had, I feel like it's leading and it's still in the process of leading to a lot of diversification of my content. Like, it's a little funny also and relatable. So, yeah, that's where I am with it.
When I'm going to say this, this is the first guest that hasn't said that their journey started from quarantine. Yeah. Every single guest
really?
Has said
no way.
Quarantine.
No.
Yes, this is the
like
first guest.
Ooh, my, yeah, 2009, really. I mean, yeah, the inception.
Basically, now 3 years old.
What? You were 3 years old? What?
Yeah, I was.
Wait, did you say 2000, which year?
2009.
Yeah,
so I'm 14. 3, yeah.
Yeah, I was 4. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I was just a baby.
So, okay. So you have been in this industry for a while now. That means the content creation industry.
I started in 2019, actually. I started in November 2018. I created my YouTube channel in December 2018. So you can really say 2019 was like the 1 year that I did my master's, and I was regular and I was avid with my content creation. So, and 2020 and 2021 has been a big roller coaster for me, even with regards to my personal life and the pandemic. So I still consider myself as a beginner because I feel like life got in the way in 2020 and 2021 when I graduated. So it's on the pause now, I would say, a lot of content creation, because I'm not doing it full time because the realities of life have hit and how difficult it is to make money. But I would still say I'm a beginner for sure, because I started in 2019.
Oh, okay, okay. You know, me and Faruqi thought you were saying 2009. We were like, huh. Wait, 2009. So that's why I said 3 years ago, by the way, just saying.
No, 2009, I thought of it. No, no, no. I wanted to, like, the desire to do it. I was 14 years old then.
Because me and Faruqi were like, you were like 2019. So we were like, oh, shit, I'm 3 years old when you started.
Yeah, that's what... Like what you just said, you said like you have an I checked your YouTube channel actually, checked your YouTube channel out. Your last upload was 10 months ago.
Yeah, I know.
No shades. Is there any reason you stopped? Is this too hard, or would you make a comeback or anything?
It's been like, one second, hold on, sorry. Yeah, it's been like 10 months now. The pause in my content creation has been very intentional. It's just that, and I'm not sure my audience completely would know of the reason. There have been times where I've put out, there's been a delay in my content and I'm going to put out a vlog once in a month or something like that. It's just because I shifted back to Dubai in 2019, December, so 2020, really. And it's just been a roller coaster in terms of, you know, living at home with your parents and the pandemic and trying to find a job. And even with my career, like my mainstream career, I was really questioning if I even want to do it because I don't want to do it. That is the verdict that it took me like a while to come at. But to be very honest, and that's the only way I like to be pretty honest in my interviews and to my audience, the thing is that it's a tough one to convince my parents for me to do this full time, because they think it's, you know, matlab, it's just a hobby and it really doesn't pay money, even though I'm working as an influencer marketing now. So I have told them the money that comes in this. But yeah, it's like, so it's a lot of things in the pipeline for me, which I wouldn't, of course, want to speak about all my plans. But there are a lot of things in the pipeline, which is why, with a heavy heart, things are on a back burner. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I kind of agree with you. I started YouTube, and like, to be honest, even though YouTube seems to everyone else like damn easy just to vlog and stuff, the post-production in it, just like you said, is kind of like time-consuming. It can, it is hard and stuff like that. You're right. So what do you think is better? What, in your, like, it's all your opinion. So like, what do you think is better, YouTube or TikTok?
You mean as a, what do I like as a creator?
As a creator, exactly. As a creator, what do you think is more?
So I just joined TikTok. I also downloaded the app just, I think, 6 months back. I used to watch TikTok that people used to send around. But definitely the concept of a short video is like the next thing. And it's a revolution. That's why everybody's doing it. So I like the concept of it. It's something I've been hooked on to. I feel like you can't, even though both of them are social media platforms, it really depends on what kind of content you want to put out. Do you want to have like a documentary sort of channel where you want to put out 10-minute informative docu-series, then you do it on YouTube. Whereas if you want to be just a beauty influencer or a fashion influencer and make shorter content, then of course that's TikTok. I feel like you can be a beauty or a fashion influencer and be on any of the platforms, but you have to trickle down to what kind of content and message do you want to deliver, and how do you want to engage with your audience. So I can't choose, to be honest. I think I really can't choose.
What's easier in that case to make content? Obviously, TikTok.
Definitely TikTok.
TikTok has to be it. I mean, YouTube.
TikTok, for sure, it's easier.
For
sure,
yeah.
Okay, in that case. Okay, I mean, back to you. I'm going to go a bit back to when you said your parents not like obviously allowing you to do this full time. So this is like a thing I've seen. We talked about it, not exactly this topic, but like talking about how now new generation, us basically, us and kids younger than us and like 2 or 3 years older than us, trying to go into more into content creation, like being a content creator. Like now we see a rise in like many kids trying to just, because like they see people like you guys, for example, as an inspiration to become like, oh, they're famous, oh, this is so easy on them. Like they just record videos, but it's definitely not like that. It's definitely not easy. We obviously know it. I mean, because like, for example, recording vlogs for yourself, you have to record a full vlog of your day, record editing so much because you can't put some parts which are not supposed to be on YouTube, basically. So talking about parents not allowing, do you think parents should start allowing it more as the newer generation is more into content creation rather than more into doctor, engineer? Do you think parents should be more open-minded about it, or do you think they're right to not allow their kids to go into content creation?
Of course, I feel like everybody's life, financial and situation is very different. So while it is very easy to proclaim and say, oh, follow your dreams and do what you want to do, but it's not feasible for everybody. So I wouldn't even say this to, forget the parents, but I wouldn't even say this to all the kids, not the, by kids, I mean like people in their college, like 18 to 21 year old bracket who's just graduating and figuring out what to do. Of course, but I would for sure say, discover what you really want to do. And if it's content creation, do not give it up, because at least I think sometime down the line you will regret it. Because, you know, when you're 20 or 21, you're just looking, a lot of them who give up on their career or dream, they do it because they want things easy. It's difficult to make money, definitely. And the reason parents push you towards this is because it's a sure shot way. Now, content creation also gives you crazy loads of money, but there's no guarantee, right? What happens if you don't get a million followers? So that's the risk. But I think if you want to do it, you should go ahead, but you should convince your parents. And also, I know that parents are very different. It's a very broad spectrum, but it boils down to how bad you want it, right? Like for myself, it's not that my parents, you know, they've said like a no and you cannot do it and forget about it. It's not like that. They've encouraged. I did media in my undergrad, so they've encouraged me. I had humanities in my in high school, but it's just that my own personal life goals have changed, where I still want to do content creation and be like the number one in my field, but there are some other priorities that I need to attend to. Some of which I can speak of, such as I want to, now that I'm living back with my parents, I understand how important it is to be financially independent, which especially I think coming back from the UK, because I feel like over there, everybody at 21 or 22 does that. And it's a little different back here. So, I mean,
I was just saying, I agree with you, what you said. Yeah, I mean, the culture-wise, it's different. Like, we still see, and like, actual, like, big grown adults, I guess, still staying with their parents. I think I'm an Indian, so I can understand, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
So, go on. Yeah.
So those ways, my priorities are different. That's why I haven't had the talk yet. But if your priority is to make content, coming to your question, then speak to your parents. Like, carve out a whole presentation, get statistics and maths in, because Desi parents love that. Like, get planning and show them responsibility. Show them that I have thought this out and I have a plan B. Get, you know, if you think that the making of the plan is daunting, speak to your friends. And I would really, really suggest, I don't know if content creators, especially in this part of the world, do this, speak to your fellow content creators. I feel like there's a little wall, or just subconsciously that might be there, ke are uske, you know, that guy has like 100k followers, how can I just go up to him and ask advice, especially in this area. But speak to your community, of content creators, and they would know, because I feel like a lot of people would have to go through this hurdle.
You know what? I 100% agree with you. I mean, me and Furuki, both of us, we had the same thought. So basically, everyone has a thought that that these celebrities or like YouTubers or famous influencers, they're like really big and they might be egoistic or they might be busy and they might not reply to your stuff. But I mean, for example, look at you. We just texted you on Instagram and then you replied. So I think if everyone who's listening here wants, you know, go ahead with something, you should just, you know, start ahead. Just go for it. Just DM people. Yeah.
Also, I had 2K, so I replied. Not 2 million. I don't know if I would have replied to you still. I'm kidding. Of course.
I'm like, 2K is still good. Like, 2K is still good. Come on.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Considering the fact I haven't uploaded since 10 months, yes. Because my YouTube videos are still shooting up on the views. So that is good, yeah.
Yeah, your stats on YouTube is really good. Mm-hmm. Your vlogs also nice, I'm just saying. Really cool.
Thanks, yeah.
Okay. All right, you know what? I'll go back to the questions that we prepared. All right, here's the next question. Since you're a content creator, every content creator has a topic they're trying to experiment with. Try something new, right? So is there anything that you're trying to experiment with?
So I feel like my flow with content creation, I feel like my content just naturally so started shaping around my personality a lot, which is another genre of influencers that are seen. I feel like there are two kinds. This is might seem like a generalization, but to make things easier, the two kinds are one which are super focused on their niche and they're, say, a fitness influencer, and every post will be very carved out for, you know, like a TV channel, like it's highly produced and highly carved out. And the second are channels who might be a little loose. They'll still put out their genre, but it's a lot based around their personality and, you know, even to a certain extent, their personal life, how much they're comfortable sharing. So I feel like being a people's, not a people's person, what do you say? A social person. And, you know, I love interacting with people, podcast interviews and conveying stories, storytelling.
I'm sorry, you were saying something?
I think the app closed. What do you think? We forgot to
say. Oh, yeah. Danny, if you close your app or anything, we can't hear you. Just saying. Oh, yes, we can hear you.
We forgot to make it clear that if the app closes, we can't hear you. We forgot to make that
clear. Yeah, I figured that because my phone got locked. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, sorry, I forgot to tell you that, by the way.
It's okay.
We'll just cut all this. Go on.
Okay, where do I speak from? Do you want me to answer this again?
No, you can start from where you stopped. I'll just cut the middle section.
Okay, I'll start from wherever I remember. I remember what I was saying. I'll just start from the beginning because there was a
thing. Sure.
So I was saying I feel like there are two kinds of content creators. Of course, I don't want to oversimplify, but just for the sake of just some distinction, there's one which carve out very specific content, and that's not really based around their personalities, and the other one is where you have their personal life in it, and you know who they hang out with and their vlogs, and a lot of vloggers have this. And I feel like even though I started off as saying I want to be a fashion blogger, but somewhere in my mind I had, I don't know if I would say a greater, but an equal interest in being I don't even know what the genre is, being, you know, like a vlogger and on camera and being a storyteller. So that has worked more for me. So that is something that naturally happened while I was making fashion content. Of course, I still make fashion content and there are photo shoots and there's a lot of ethnic outfits that work on my gram. So I do that. But regarding something that I want to experiment with, like I say, I feel like I want to get back into fashion and beauty because I really like aesthetics and I've even done my master's in fashion. So I feel like I want to further get into fashion and make more niche videos with fashion.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about your likes, we got to know your into fashion. You studied fashion in university as well. So fashion trends are always a thing. They're always going and coming. You know about them a lot. So what do you think is the most underrated fashion trend?
You mean of this year?
Do you think it's all time or this year? You can choose and you can see on you.
Underrated fashion trend of all time. I mean, this might sound cliche, but or like a practice, I can say. I feel like an underrated trend is not following trends. Like, I feel like a lot of people, especially in the industry or people who are fashion conscious, a lot of them are conscious about, oh, what is trending? I'm going to put that on. Of course, a lot are not also. But I feel like, especially, I don't know. Let me think this out through, actually. Okay, edit that out. Wait. No. trend. Okay. Underrated trend. Okay, let me think of something specific. You know, I'll tell you. To be honest, I don't, at least on the top of my mind, I can't think of any underrated trend because...
It's okay. It's a hard question. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of overrated trends. I don't know.
Oh, in that case, what's the overrated?
Okay, go on. Let's go to the...
What do you think is the most overrated?
Overrated trends are highlight.
Okay. I have no idea what that is. I'm sorry.
I have no idea what I think me and Farooq are like really bad fashion. I think you close your phone or turn off your app. Hello. Tanya, I think you closed your app or probably...
I have got closed again. Sorry.
It's okay.
Where did I lock you off?
Were you actually talking like the whole time or something?
Yeah, I was. Because I didn't see my phone God. While I was talking.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, in that case, we were talking about what?
The most overrated.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Most overrated fashion trend, I think, is of the Y2K fashion. Which basically, I think so, yeah, it refers to the early 2000s fashion. So there was a lot of like braids with weird hair highlights, spikes on guys, highlighted spikes on guys, leather pants.
Okay,
yeah, leather pants sometimes are nice, but flared leather pants, like it was.
Okay, flares, no, that's bad. Yeah.
Flared leather pants, then. The really, those sunglasses look good, the ones which are quite slim, and of course, to each their own, but a lot of bizarre overrated trends in the early 2000s, yeah.
So basically more, what is it called, 2000 type of trend, which is bringing back, yeah. You know, I agree with you, yeah, it feels weird a bit.
When we were, I think, growing up, when you guys were, of course, a little younger than me, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Another fashion thing is, I mean, ripped jeans. This is like something, it's like a mixed opinion. People say it's garbage, people like it. What's your opinion on ripped jeans?
I think ripped jeans are very cool, but I think that's because I think clothes go with people's personalities. And though ripped jeans have become quite mainstream and everybody wears it, but I personally like it because I like... Sometimes I like that undone casual look.
Okay. I think you closed your app again. It's okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you can hear me.
Oh my God. I just look in the air and I forget to look at my phone. Yeah.
It's okay. Alright, so go on. You were saying that, you know, it's based on personality. So you like you like ripped jeans, right?
Yeah. I like ripped jeans. I think they look quite casual. Yeah, I like the casual, laid back look that they can have, and they don't make you look like too done up, if I might say so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So more casual type of thing. Okay, okay. Alright, yeah. In that case, I'm gonna go back to the questions that we prepared. Awesome questions, by the way. Alright, so have you ever had a fan encounter before?
Fan encounter, wow. I think I've yet to have. I've had a lot. You mean like in real life, right?
In real life, yeah, yeah.
No, if that means that, like, have I bumped into a fan?
Or have, like, you know, bumped into you?
No, I know. Oh, wait, yes, but I don't know if he's... I think he is a fan, but he was my... he was my batchmate from my high school. And okay. I don't think I had ever met him in high school, but I had heard of him. So, like, you know, friends sort of a guy. And, you know, like, I know he used to follow me closely because, you know, we used to chat up on some of the things that I uploaded on my stories. So, you know, he was quite like supportive and nice. So I bumped into him at Dubai Mall and he recognized me because, of course, I know what he looked like, but I didn't. So maybe that can be classified as a fan encounter. Yeah.
Okay. Because like the thing is, we asked like the same question to one of our previous guests. I think this can't be really, you know, relatable nowadays because of quarantine stuff. But our kind of follow-up question was like, what's your weirdest, your most fun fan encounter? I'm going to go with some of the questions. Okay. All right. So there's a lot of people who watch you and take you as inspiration, right? So in that case, what are your tips towards new beginners on TikTok or Instagram?
Even though I would classify as myself also as a beginner, but yes, of course, I do have a little more experience just being on social media. Beginner as an influencer, right? Influencer?
Like someone's trying to be like you. Someone looks up to you and tries to be like you. Basically, an influencer, I guess.
Okay. So, if you want to start content creation, please... I feel like generally on a lot of things in life, people end up asking other people around too much, which is good in terms of if you're getting productive advice. But I feel like a person always knows what they want deep down. Your intuition, you just know it. You might have it buried under expectations of your family and fear, a lot of fear and doubt and insecurity, because overwhelmingly you might not find reasons right in front of you of why it won't work out, but you have to fight for that hope, for that even belief that people might call you crazy for, and they'll say, oh, how's it possible, or it's too saturated of a market, everybody's an influencer and influenza, ha ha ha, and you know, like all the jokes on influencers. But I think it's a fabulous industry. And the fact that we're in this generation is huge, because I have studied media. So I have, I would have studied media even if I was a generation back. I would have worked in television or films, you know, the traditional media. So have media so democratized where you can be anybody from anywhere, you know, even you have villages in India who have kids who are singing and they go viral, right? Like that, Bachpan ka pyar kid, Bachpan ka pyar kid, right? So, that happened because of social media. So, I feel like, and especially if you want to be a content creator and you're hearing people say that it's too saturated and you're not going to work, don't believe them, because I think it's here to stay for sure. And I think it's just the beginning. And go for it. Just listen to yourself on what you want to do. I really feel like you need to have a purpose in this rather than having a main desire that, okay, I just want to be famous and known, or I just want to do this because this seems easy. It's really not. Just because you see a lot of people doing it does not mean it's easy. So go for it and know what your purpose is behind doing this. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So the thing is, to be honest, your tip, I would say your advice would be really good compared to others, because we had so many influencers on the show and everyone's more, how do I say, more cliche, more into the mainstream tips, I guess. Everyone, for you remember, everyone just says the same thing. It's consistency.
Consistency.
Yeah. But like yours is a more, what is it called? Inspiration type of thing, like go on, do it, believe it. I think it's a cool advice. I think it's really good advice.
Oh, thanks. All right,
No problem. All right, so we've asked enough questions to annoy you. Let's go into your topics that you like. All right, so these are the topics you like: media production, fashion, your career, the future that you're that you're planning to, and so let's start off with media production. So what's with media production? Is it from the childhood? Like, were you into TVs, or what was it? Where, why, how?
So with media, it's actually my mom told me that I wanted to do it. I did not have any I did not really decide upon it. I just thought I'd wing it, whatever. Let me just do science and I'll see later on. Even though I was a very bright and, what do I say? So not responsible. I was irresponsible, but I scored good, you know.
smart.
So yeah, so I was smart. So my mom said that she thinks that I'm a very good writer and I would be very good in the production side. Now both of them are MBA, so they didn't know anything about this industry. But I would say even in my undergraduation, I had no idea what I wanted to do. But by second year, even first, I knew I wanted to do TV and film because I loved storytelling. And more than storytelling, even at that point, I wanted to do because it seemed like a job where I would be on the go, because I can't and I still can't stand a desk job. I hate it. I want a job where I'm on the go and it's dynamic. And we had an amazing studio, TV studio in our Manipal campus. That's where I studied from, Manipal, Dubai. And just the room and the studio, it was just so exciting that I just did not see anything else like it. So I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And even at the same time, I also really wanted to work in fashion magazines. So that was quite a niche thing that I wanted to do. So I was sort of caught in between these two things. And then in the third year, I just ended up taking the safe option, which was advertising and events, because I thought if I want to specialize in production, I'll do it later. And by the third year, I was still engrossed into fashion. So I got from mainstream television and film production, I got engrossed into fashion. And I wanted to do something which is called fashion communication, which is this field in bachelor's and master's where you work in the fashion industry, but in the media side, which is marketing, PR, in magazines. So even though my master's course was called fashion media production, but it was still quite like you have your choice in whatever you want to do. So I wouldn't say that I am like a kira of media production, you know, in terms of like the camera and photography, but now knowing myself so much more, as I'm 25 now, I would say what draws me to it, just like what draws me to social media, is the storytelling part of it. Because even if it's just podcasts or interviews or acting and directing, all of it, just storytelling is what I liked. And I was the president of the theater club at my university also, so I enjoyed that as well. So yeah, I think it's storytelling. That's how I got into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go. I mean, this is like a question that popped in my head a bit. Like, it's off topic. It's not anything related to anyone. It's like a normal question I would ask anyone who's gone to college or university. It's for the younger people like me, anyone who still hasn't gone to university yet. It's just a normal question because I'm just going to ask to you. When you study, I'm just going to ask you a normal question first. Have you studied like your whole life as school, not university, in Dubai or like in a different to any other countries?
So I did my schooling in Dubai from 6th grade to 12th grade. I was in Dubai. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then you said you went to for university to London, yeah?
For my master's, I went to London. My undergraduate, I've done from Dubai as well, from Manipal, Dubai.
Okay. I mean, this is for like us and for the others, people who want to travel abroad for like university, like you did. People, like, I mean, living alone. Did you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, in London.
Obviously, you have. I mean, people look at that as one of the reasons some people don't study abroad, living alone. How will they manage? So Do you know how they will manage everything? Can you tell us how easy it is or how hard?
Actually, coincidentally, I met somebody today who must be, I think, like 2-3 youngest to me. I just bumped into somebody at the mall who I didn't know, and we just literally started talking. And he is also a Dubai kid, and he was planning, he's done his undergraduate here, and he was planning for masters abroad. And this is the exact same thing that he said, that I regret not going for my undergraduate to Canada. And the reason he didn't go was because he was scared to live alone. So I think this might be a common theme, but I don't know if I'm right to make this assumption, but I, having lived all over the Middle East, so I've lived in Riyadh and Kuwait also, and and having
Qatar
had friends
soon?
Yeah, what?
Qatar, sorry? Coming soon or no?
What? Qatar, wait, Qatar. I can't hear you. Hello.
Are you gonna
Qatar?
I mean,
oh,
finish the...
No plans. Oh, no. I thought at a time. I've even lived in Bahrain.
Come on.
So.
Oh, she came so close. This close.
You're not... You didn't come to the best country in the Gulf.
Oh.
I'm gonna lie though.
Really?
I can't really support Faruqi fully because I'm actually kind of like a Dubai person too, because I was born and brought up there my entire life.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I can't really support Qatar fully, but, like, you know, you should come Qatar.
I mean,
I do. I want to just to see what the hype is and know that, okay, I was right. This is bad. It's just hype.
Oh, no.
Who hypes up Qatar outside Qatar?
Dude, there is still... Within Middle East, I feel like there's a lot of... because probably they have the money, but there is...
The money, yeah.
Yeah.
The money. Yeah, it's all
the World Cup, maybe, as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So answering your question, so he had the same concern that, you know, how am I going to stay alone? And I feel like this is a tangent I've seen in kids brought up in the Middle East, because it can be sort of like, there's a saying in Hindi which means kuen, which goes like kuen ka mendak, which means that frog in the pond.
Okay.
Which basically translates into that when you're really familiar and too cozy with your surroundings, any change can feel daunting. And because we live, which has its good side, but we live in a very protected environment in the GCC, right? It's not even as exposed as I would say in India, right?
Yeah.
Everything, which is good, which means that our lives are not in danger when we're out at like 11 in the night. But it really, I've seen this even in my brother who's now going for his undergraduate. But, you know, they see culture, South Asian culture themselves, parents really, I feel like, overprotect the kids. And then it becomes worse if you've been brought up here. So I'd say 100% take the plunge, not only so that you learn living on your own and it's a major life skill, but because I think universities are pathetic in this region. So please get out. If you can afford it, please, I beg you, please go, literally. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, still about staying on this topic, a lot of parents have this conception about America and the UK, that over there it's pretty dangerous because of, you know, like, stories from the news, like, and everything. There's always racism, for example, is also a thing that goes on there. So do you really think that studying in like anywhere, probably what do you, GCSE is not GCSE, what am I saying? GCC. Okay. Is better than actually going there to America or UK? I'm talking most of these places where people think they're racist,
yes.
They're or like, you know, Indian parents will think like, oh no, you'll go to the streets and there will be a guy that will pull out a gun on you. Like, you know what I mean?
Don't take the
normal, stereotypical, don't, you know. Do you really think people should actually believe this, or that's something that should stop them from going there, or they shouldn't care about it?
I feel like, of course, there's a lot of, because of course the gap, the distance between the West and this part of the world, with both the sides, there's a lot of misconception and stereotypes that one forms because of being exposed to the media. And, you know, like a lot of people at the West, they've asked me, and I've heard this from a lot of people, they think the Middle East is super dangerous, which includes Dubai, by the way. People would think elsewise of Dubai, but they don't. They think Dubai is this, you know, it's dangerous, or it's bad for women and women can't go out, but it's nothing at all like that. And it goes the same vice versa, because there are problems in every country, of course. And if you're going to a developed world, I feel like, of course, the best part is that apart from thinking of settling down there, which the countries give you an option to, you have really good education to access. And, you know, the racism and all of those things, of course, they are there, but it is nowhere near the conception and the misconception of what Desi parents think. They think it's like a bloodbath out there, and it's, you know, you can't go out. And my parents themselves used to call me so many times just in a day. And the first time I went, the first month, they panicked that I was having dinner at 10 p.m. outside in London, even though it was like central. So there are people there out all the time. But because of the horror stories that they've heard, but, you know, the people, to them, I'd say, to console the hyper parents, you could ask them to speak to people who live abroad, who live there, and I'm sure that they wouldn't give this picture, and they'd give like a real and balanced picture.
Okay, well, that's actually a great answer. Right. So I want to move on to the next segment, which is fan questions, but we don't have the questions to you, right? So can you just send us a screenshot or something to us?
Wait. I'll tell you the question. It's just so that I feel like I have exhausted my audience, because I always keep asking them questions. So they have asked me all questions in other instances. But one of my friends asked me what has been my most memorable moment in the influencer journey.
Okay. In that case, you can answer that.
Yeah. So, okay. So my most memorable moment, I think, I don't know if I can pinpoint to one moment, but there are a lot. It's hard to choose. But, you know, I'll tell you the most memorable thing, or the most life-changing, but a big change that happens when you become a public figure as a content creator, is not that it's good, but it's fun to watch the people who never spoke to you, say in high school or wherever, right? Spoke to you, have such a keen interest in your life, right? If it's in your content, that's great. I mean, that's more professional, right? Like, fine, they want to know the best skincare products and they ask you, and that's that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like there's a change in how people behave with you, which shouldn't be the case. But it's just amusing to watch that. So that has been amusing. It's not been memorable.
You know what? I actually agree with you 100%. For example, the only segment or like the genre I know, I'm well aware, I guess, is on YouTube will be technology and tech side. So, I mean, there's a lot of tech channels, like hundreds and thousands of tech channels there is. But then I feel like people tend to go for a specific channel. I think it's because of the person more than the content. Because a lot of the beauty, I think, a lot of the beauty area or like the fashion area, most of the things are almost similar, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same trend, right? But I feel like people often go for the specific person because of that person, the personality, the way of content making. So I think, just like you said, I think it's more demanded to the person than the content.
More, sorry, what was your last one? It is more?
It's personal opinion. I personally feel like it's the person and their personality is more important than their main objective content.
I think so too. Yes, even though I said that there are two categories, but depends on your goal. But if your goal is to hit the 1 million plus mark of those elite influencers, and you want to make this into a career, I'm guessing you'd want to hit that mark. A lot is your personality, which I'm not saying has to be, you know, you have to be a people's person and you have to be extroverted, but how, of course, how good your content is, but your USP should come out of your personality, your something that sets you apart. If you are looking the same and creating the same content as any other influencers, and there are like hundreds of fashion and beauty, and, you know, because people go for entertainment content on social media, they like that content. So it can be easy for it to seem the same if you don't set yourself apart.
Okay. So what do you think is your thing? Is it your personality? What do you personally think? I mean, it's a weird question to ask, but is it your content style? What do you think you have such... Because your rates on your likes and your views and stuff on it, YouTube is like quite really good.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is your stand off point? Is it your content creation, your editing? Is it your... Is it you? Or is it your vlogs? What is it? What do you think it is?
Yeah, so I think, and again, like I said, I think it's just naturally happened so that I think it's 100%. I feel like it's the way I speak or what I speak, and it's my personality. And to reflect on it, because like I said, I never made a very niche content and, you know, 5 ways to wear a sari or 10 ways to, you know, like put on different earrings. It was never very content focused. It was very, my content was very light and flowy, like go with the flow. And I feel like a lot of, even because I receive a lot of messages and feedback, and one of the things that people said was, again, which relates to my personality, is they just found their day to be, you know, like, I mean, I don't want to make it sound cliche, but, you know, like more like it seemed brighter, like, you know, like swiping through everybody's stories, they just felt like, you know, I'm a bright, fun person, and, you know, it was all chilled out, and I was speaking about things that probably other content creators, even if they were speaking about it, it was not in the same way. You know, say a content creator does a story on International Women's Day. Now, the way I put it and just the way I speak and, you know, like you say, it's just a personality. I think that clicks.
Okay, so you think it's your personality?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so since this is like the segment where we ask fan questions, since we don't have any, I'll ask you some questions. What is your most common type of fan question that you get?
Most common question that I get. A lot of it is on the... And I've realized this now. It's a lot on the makeup I do. Though I've never been into makeup. But whenever I put on, of course, there's an occasion and I dress up, especially ethnic, I do my makeup in whatever I'm feeling that in that moment. But a lot of people request that. Now, I don't know... They do that because generally there's a demand for people. They want to watch like skincare and makeup videos. And, you know, it's a lot of, oh, what do you use for your skin? And, you know, what makeup do you put? I do feel like there's an obsessive need by people to know this. And I don't know why. So there's more than hundreds, like thousands of, you know, like skincare influencers and makeup influencers. But people are really curious on Instagram. They're really curious. They ask. So this is a question they ask, then yeah, and a lot of my following, though not really question, but yeah, another question, yeah, another that comes to my mind is people ask that, oh, how do you remain so, you know, like light and positive all the time? And but of course I've broken this down that's only because I'm not showing you the other parts, you know, when I've cried myself to sleep and, you know, stuff like that. So I make sure to even balance it. But yeah, that's another thing that people ask me.
Okay. So you get a lot of makeup questions and the rest. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, talking about that, you're very active on Instagram, aren't you? Like...
on what? On
Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very active.
I mean, I see you posting stories and like answering to all the questions you see. So like... yeah, also your highlights and stuff, all funny, not gonna lie, awkward. All right, so since I don't really have any much questions to ask, because we ask basically everything. I'll go into the fun part, the quick fire round.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All it's right. Like a rapid fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What is the guy's show where he asks... Let's just imagine...
Are you going to ask these saucy questions? Do I need to, like, answer...
First question will obviously be, we ask the same question pretty much everyone. So the first question will be, iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Every single guest has good taste.
Content creators know the technology.
You know what? It's just sad though. Like everyone says,
oh God, iPhone. You're an Android person. I know.
No, I'm an iPhone person. Don't worry.
We are both iPhone people.
But like, at this point, we just feel bad for them. Like it's too. Everyone just says iPhone. So like, you know. Just sad. But like, I agree with you, iPhone, always better. Alright, next question. Your dream vacation. Where would it be? Please don't say Bali or Maldives.
No. I can understand that you guys, I don't know if you guys have taken a lot of interviews and you're tired, or all of them, I think, have answered very similar
Please change it. Yeah.
Actually, it's not. My dream number one place to go is New York.
Oh damn! You know, that was like one of my favorite places. Mm-hmm. It's just it's kind of weird though. The first time I went there, there was a lot of cons than pros. There was because like New York, you see on TV shows like Friends and stuff like that. It's like such a like a bright area. It's like full on signs and like people walking around. But when you go there, you appreciate how awesome GCC is. Like, our country, like, our area is just so clean when it comes to public areas. There is just, like, all... No offense, all New Yorkers, guys. I'm sorry if you're watching this. Yeah. But, like, compared to GCC, I feel like we're much more posh.
There's a richer and a more cleaner vibe. Even I felt the same in London. London is not clean at all. There are like mouses and rats in the tube, and British people don't eat pan, but there are like food marks everywhere, which look like as bad as pan. So,
I wonder what they do. All right, let's compare Dubai downtown with New York. Manhattan and like versus Dubai downtown. Oof. What do you feel like is going to be better? Even though you have not seen, what do you think is better
for me? Like you said, I don't think I can answer that because I haven't been there, right?
Yeah. What do you think is going to be better? Everyone's seen a bit of New York, like on movies and stuff.
Yeah.
From what you've seen so far, what do you...
I feel like what it would be is I would like the vibe of Manhattan more, either in terms of just aesthetics, it might be a tie because, like I said, I don't know what it's going to look like. Either A, it's going to be a tie aesthetically, or B, it's going to be that I like the vibe of Manhattan, like, you know, the crowd and so dynamic. But I like downtown I find it to be more glam. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Not going to lie. When you walk in the Times Square area, it's like on the sidewalk. It just feels such a productive area for some reason. You're like, you need to go for work. Even though you go as a tourist, you feel like you need to go for work.
Get a coffee in the morning. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just go with someone. I don't care. I just want to get a coffee. It's like a really productive area. By the way, what's your opinion on London weather? For example, a lot of people say, like, that I know, say that, what is it called? It's very gloomy and stuff. But the time when I went, I was like, damn, this is so cool. I love this rainy vibe because, I mean, if you live in the GCC, you don't get much rain. But, like, what's your opinion? Since you lived in London, what's your opinion on London weather?
So, I relate to you because it was such a different environment, even weather-wise, that I really liked it. But I really like it because I feel like the best part about London is I can walk anywhere, and the weather is rarely as bad that I cannot walk. But the weather in Dubai is, it's so hot that I, even if there's a metro station accessible, I can't walk it. So I would still prefer like a downpour, because I can be around and I can go out and my plans don't get as, you know, cancelled. And of course, that's because I don't drive a car here. Everybody who has a car has a different opinion. But I like the London weather too. Yeah. But then as I think if at a stretch it gets like, it gets tiring of no sun, because literally there are sometimes there's literally no sun. It's all clouds all the time. But yeah, I just have a bias towards London, so don't ask me any London questions. I just love it. It's the first place I went to, so yeah.
Okay. Next quick fire question. Are you more of a Bollywood or a Hollywood person?
Bollywood all the way.
So what's your favorite movie in Bollywood, I guess?
Hard to choose one, but classics. Shah Rukh Khan over Salman Khan any day. So
go, let's go.
Are any one of you Salman fan over Shah Rukh?
Shah Rukh.
Right, we're NRIs. We've lived off him.
Yeah.
We've lived not off him. We've lived on him. him sounds like we lived on his money.
Wait, you know what's actually funny though? There's this mountain called Jungfrau in Switzerland. It's the tallest mountain in Europe or something like that. So when you go to the top of it, the last time I visited, there was a huge poster of Shah Rukh Khan and Kajol just doing this big pose there.
For some reason,
Switzerland, like, people in Switzerland love that. When I say, like, usually, like, when they expect Indians to go and take selfies next to Shah Rukh Khan and stuff on the top, like the poster of Shah Rukh Khan. But like, more than Indians, I saw actual locals there taking selfies with the poster of Shah Rukh Khan. They might not even know who he is. They just like the way he looks.
He's very famous. Like, if you see, I mean, of course, everybody knows he's very famous. I'm sorry, rephrasing that. I mean, I mean, he's very famous amongst culture that you would never expect. Yeah. Like, Korean also. I wouldn't be surprised if there are, I'm 100% sure there are people who watch Shah Rukh Khan movies. So, he's just very famous. NRI.
Shah Rukh Khan, if you're watching this, hit us up.
Please, if you're watching this, please, like, mere liye koi role likh do.
Since you said Bollywood over Hollywood, what's your favorite genre of music, or what's your type of music? Because saying what's your favorite music, it's kind of hard. So, like, what's the music that you listen to? What's your music that you prefer? Like,
Very mainstream person, I of course listen to Bollywood music, and of course I love English as well, but it depends on my mood. My favorite ones in Bollywood, it just depends on any songs that come out these days. My favorite is there's a song from Sher Shah called Rata Lambia, which is very nice. That's my favorite these days. And who are my favorite artists? Pop culture favorite artists. Taylor Swift. Obviously. Oh my god. Of course. Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez.
Oh, so like a complete mainstream person. Okay. What's your opinion on Charlie Puth?
What's my what?
Opinion on Charlie Puth. Do you like Charlie Puth music?
Oh, yeah. But I've just heard like the ones that have gone like crazy viral famous, so not like his whole album sort of listening. Shawn Mendes, I love Shawn Mendes.
Oh, Shawn Mendes.
Jonas Brothers are good. Justin Bieber, of course. Timberlake, Jay Sean, the classics. Shakira, Shakira.
Obviously, so you just mainly mainstream, okay. Awesome. In that case, look at this. We passed a 1 hour mark. We've been talking about 1 hour. Oh my god.
It didn't feel like an hour to me.
Yeah, it didn't feel like 1 hour. Yeah. Isn't me? Did time go fast with that? Okay. For 1 hour, just saying. Is this your first time on a podcast?
No, this is my second time, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say, if it's the first time, you've been really awesome. Like, the way you're talking and stuff like that, you've been awesome.
I
think since it's past 1 hour and people are probably tired of listening to us on a stretch 1 hour, so I think it's a part time to wrap this. What do you say, guys?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
In that case, before we wrap it up, you want to give a shout out to your own channel where people can meet you and we can find you on social media?
Yeah, sure. Okay, hi guys. If you've stayed for so long, I love you and I will personally meet you and kiss you only if you're a girl, not if you're a boy.
All the boys.
Sorry, all the boys. But yeah, so watch me on YouTube. I am going to come up with very interesting vlogs that I haven't told anybody about yet.
Ooh, exclusive on FN Podcast.
Exclusive and exclusively announced on FNF Podcast. And there's a surprise coming in, which might, well, surprise people. So, and watch out my Instagram and watch out my TikTok as well. I make fashion and lifestyle content. And I am funny and sweet and cute. And you just enjoy watching me. I promise to subscribe. Subscribe and follow me. Yeah. Possible. And I've had an amazing time on this podcast. With Ferdine so and Faruqi. Did I get that right?
Oh my God.
Your names?
Yes. Yeah, it's okay. It's great. Okay. No worries. Okay. In that case, you've been awesome. Just want to say thank you so much. And let's wrap it up. So let me just say thanks to the viewers. It's been a sec. Thank you so much for watching. If you like this video, go hit the like button. Add us to your playlist on Spotify. And till the next video, which is going to release on Friday. See you guys later. You want to say bye at the same time?
Yeah, sure.
Let's say bye at 3, 2, 1. Bye.
Bye.